Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see of the mystery, taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings every night, my love I bring to you.
All right. Welcome back to the study show, the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Yamsu Pari. I, along with Cartrell of New York City, your lead students in this show, we're happy to be able to give you an archaeology study and find so you can understand the definition of what these, of what this relationship, and these relationships are all about. First and foremost relationship is with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. How to understand the dynamics, how to get the best out of the relationship, how to learn to follow instructions, how to stop leaning to your own understanding, how to humble oneself, how to have a steadfast spirit and a heart not unlike King David, who loved the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thirst after righteousness in his brothers and sisters as himself, where when he felt himself on the outside of this relationship, he made it his business to find out what mistakes he made and how to rectify that relationship so he could continue to get the best out of the relationship. Also, that would apply to relationships with your brother and sister. Seeing that we have been miseducated, misguided, unlearned, and we're totally confused about everything, that's why we're willing to write rap songs about killing one another, mistreating our women, abusing them, and so on and so forth, and getting $1 million to boot. It's true. The evidence don't lie. I know you may be upset with me, but who cares? But the evidence does not lie. And also, that would apply to strangers, different nations. If you don't know, like another fellow from New York City once said, now you will find out. He said, now if you don't know, now you know. But on the Real Talk for Real People show, we said, if you don't know, we're going to help you find out. But before we started, Cartrell and I, again, I want to thank you for attending this study session. But I want to talk about two subject matters. First, Haiti. Haiti has lost, to count, 1,400 people and many, many more missing because of the earthquake. And a big hurricane, Grace, and a tropical depression is headed toward its way, which is going to make things quite difficult in order to facilitate recovery of those that are covered by the heavy debris and building. Because if you've noticed one thing about Haiti, and a lot of these foreign countries, they love the usage of cement, stone, and concrete, not wood, I guess for a reason that is being in the Caribbean and inundated with hurricanes. But even that being said, it is the usage of a cement is quite heavy and cause great destruction, as we saw down there. Florida quite recently when that building toppled and what nobody recovered because of the heaviness of the cement. But what you can do, you can keep these people in your minds and meditate on them and keep them in your prayers. Pray to the Most High and bless His holy name for the safe recovery of those, and if not, for the help of those that were inundated with travesty due to something that is fast approaching, maybe by the night, Hurricane Grace and a tropical depression, which caused mudslides and so on and so forth. So please keep them in mind, okay? And last but not least, Afghanistan. I've recently saw people falling out of airplanes trying to escape the Taliban. Yes, they were jumping on American airplanes or wherever these airplanes was on the outside in fear for their lives. I'm just going to say this one thing. If America has made promises to their allies in Afghanistan to look out for them, America should hold up to its word, even to its own hurt. King David was a man just like that, you know. even though to his own hurt, he would try to honor his word. And people had a lot of respect for him. But as America, we know the history of this country. The victims of this country know the history of this country very well. We know our Native American brothers said, white men speak with forked tongue. And we know from personal experience and our observation how we have been lied to, mistreated, abused, and are dominated and treated any old techie or messy old way. And it goes without any surprise of ours that they are treating the Afghanistan interpreters, associates that helped them in their 20 years of being over there. It doesn't come as a surprise to us, not a complete surprise. But I will say that America needs to, if you gave promises, you need to keep your promises. If you told those people over there that they was going to come over here, you need to make sure it happened. And it shouldn't have been the last minute. You know, I knew America wasn't going to be there forever and a day. But even that being said, they should have had a plan. And just to tell somebody, see, you wouldn't want to be here is not a plan. Then all of a sudden the Taliban is knock, knock, knock on your door. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? Send in the troops. Let's get everybody out. That is no plan. That's a hot mess. You know, if you knew that you was getting out of there and you knew that the governor, the president of Afghanistan had flew the coup and you knew the prospects of the army fighting against the Taliban was slipping up into darkness, you should have been prepared for all contingency. You say you were, but the evidence doesn't say you were prepared for these contingencies. And you're supposed to be the smartest people in the world. You're supposed to think things through. You're supposed to be the people in charge, but I don't see it. And then one more thing, America said it's going to leave an intelligence component in Afghanistan to ensure the fact that there's no one planning anything against America. Hell, if you didn't see the Taliban coming just hours away, what kind of intelligence are you getting? And I'm going to tell you this. If you're going to mistreat the Taliban, the Afghanistan people, the interpreters, these people is not going to give a rat's ass about your intelligence, okay? If you cross those people, I can assure you one thing. For all the intelligence, you don't have very much intelligence. Not very much intelligence at all. If you think you're going to go over there and treat those folks any old messy old tacky old way and then say, hey, can you tell on somebody? Come on, man, stop it. Folks falling out of airplanes trying to get up out of there. And you think you're going to leave an intelligence component there to work with who? Who's going to give you information on anybody? Especially in view of the fact they've seen how you treated the folks there. Hell to the no-no. Okay? All right. Well, let me bring my dear friend and brother on from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yasu Fari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless you and your family also. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Appreciate you, brother.
We're seeing things we ain't never seen in our lifetime.
Man, what you say?
You talking about people jumping on the outside of a jumbo jet.
I ain't never seen that.
Get up out of town.
Yeah.
I've seen people jump on trains, on the outside of trains.
Right.
I've seen them pack buses to the hilt.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them even pack automobiles to the hilt.
Right.
But I ain't never seen people so desperate. You trying to ride on the outside of a jumbo plane, get ready to take off.
It's crazy, Cartrell. It's crazy.
And they hung on until it took off.
It got way up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And it got way up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were hanging on.
Right. I guess it got so far up into the atmosphere. You know, it gets cold up there, Cartier, when you're outside of a plane, okay?
And how long do you think they're going to hang on traveling that fast?
And I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing to keep from crying. And I'm not laughing out of disrespect for the those Afghanistan men or women who fell out of the sky. It's just ludicrous. Like Cartrell said, I've never seen anything like that. He's never seen anything like that. And combined between he and I, we have almost a total of 130 years. We've never seen anything like that. Crazy. Go ahead, Cartrell.
And you're talking about a people that's fearing their own people. It's not like they're running from a foreign invading nation. The Taliban, Afghanistan. Afghanistani, right? They're one and the same people.
Exactly.
So we see that the codifications of the Most High are not for the afterlife, like religion. The codification that Yah gives us is for our relationship, like you always say, nation to nation, brother to brother, the relationship that man has with the Most High.
Right.
Because for a people to have that kind of fear of their own people is ridiculous. And their people shouldn't be putting that kind of fear in their men, women, and children like they do. What's the point?
Exactly.
And then our brothers and sisters in Haiti, Lord have mercy.
Right. You're right,
talking about they haven't even counted the bodies, and now they confronting something catastrophic like a storm that's going to put them out in the elements. They're already out in the elements, and there's no shelter for them with the buildings broke down. So we can't even imagine the drama and the trials and tribulations that our brothers and sisters are going through in Haiti.
Exactly. And then it's a poor region, region of the land. It's not one of the higher region like Port-au-Prince. It's in the lower economic region. Those folks didn't have nothing to start with. And so they've been put in a situation, and I've heard about DART being sit there. DART is a recovery like with the dogs and whatnot. But I ain't heard about nobody going there as of yet with tents and food in order to feed the people, tents to house the people and food to feed the people. And matter of fact, I've been giving it some consideration myself, and I've been thinking about going over there to help them. I just, hold on, I don't want nobody to get upset. It's a passing thought. And maybe prayer is the best thing I can do for them. But I thought about it. But we'll see about it. Okay. Go ahead, Cartrell.
It's really incumbent upon nations to help Haiti out. Nations with resources to go there and help the people out. I'm sure if it was a European nation, they would have had aid there immediately. You know, but they don't really care about our people.
They'd have been there, Cartrell. Planes have been taxing back and forth, okay?
Right.
They'd have been there.
Knowing that they're facing a greater danger now, why not help, you know, with evacuation or something to help get them shelter until the storm passes?
Exactly.
I noticed that the Most High, the ones that he loves, he put them through the hardest tests and through the hardest affliction.
Mm-hmm.
So he must really love our brothers and sisters in Haiti because they're going through it. Like none of our people on the planet Earth has.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, Cartrell, you always talk about, you always talking about, Cartrell, that we are a nation that sings the blues. And now you can see in the case of Haiti, the reason why we have good reason to sing the blues. And you can see, for as fear is concerned, Cartrell used the word alluding to the Afghanist people being afraid of their own people. And when Cartrell was speaking, I was thinking about the very same thing in regards to us and our communities. Well, we're scared of our own people. We're scared of our own youth and so on and so forth. And so I can feel the fear. I can taste the fear that Cartrell is talking about in regards to them afraid of the Taliban because we're afraid of our own youth and our own city communities, so-called ghettos. Cartrell didn't lie. He certainly did.
And that's not godly understanding. Whether we doing it, whether the Taliban doing it, whether anybody's doing it, the Most High standard is you got to love your own people like you love yourself.
Yeah.
And why is that so hard? Why are the Taliban trying to suppress their women?
Exactly.
And who is the United States? Who does the United States think they are? That they can bring balance and justice and truth to other nations when they can't even do it at home?
Now, you said a mouthful right there, Cadrell. Who do they think? What more authority do they have to think that they can take America, Western Hemisphere, wisdom and understanding somewhere and think that people going to go for that? Yeah, they were. It should have been a foregone conclusion that the army was going to fade into the darkness, that the governor was going to slip away. Because these people are dealing with their own kind. It's just like me in the ghetto. And when the popo pull up, and he asked me in front of everybody, "Young Sue, which one did it?" I said, "Hold on, man. Don't be asking me no question like that, man. He won't talk to me. He talked to me incognito. Let me put me on. I got to live here. You going right back to the precinct and right back to your little pretty neighborhood. But I got to live here. Okay? Y'all didn't help make this environment toxic like it is. Yeah, y'all are guilty making us all victims like it is. Now you want me to tell on other victims in front of the victims? You want to make me another victim? Y'all made these neighborhoods the way they are. And now you're going to get me and put me on Front Street. Hey, y'all Subari, who shot that fellow over there right in front of everybody? Now, if you really want to know something about who shot somebody, you need to come at me incognito. Well, I ain't saving nobody that's doing wrong, okay? But don't put me on Front Street like that, okay? Because y'all made these neighborhoods the way they are. Y'all the one put these guns in this neighborhood. Y'all the one pay these young men and young women songs to write about killing one another and homosexuality and so on and so forth. Prostitution and so on and so forth, drug addiction and so on and so forth, alcoholism, so on and so forth. Y'all put these weapons in these neighborhoods. Now you want me to tell on somebody? Come on, man. I mean, I can understand why they got on them airplanes like that, Cartrell. They put them folks on Front Street, Cartrell. You exposed those people. And you didn't do anything to help them. I didn't mind you getting up out of there because you shouldn't have been there in the first place. But you the one that told them people, "Look, I got you, man. I got you." Man, stop. Go ahead, Cartrell.
How long has America had an opioid problem?
Man, long. Cartrell, you know, I didn't recall. I'm sure, like you may have been more exposed to the perhaps in New York as a little boy, but down in Memphis, Tennessee, I was not exposed. I heard about a guy selling heroin, but I wasn't exposed to it because Memphis was not like a big city like New York City. And I'm pretty sure as a little boy, perhaps you saw more than I saw as a little boy. I heard about it, but I didn't see about it. But by you being inner city, much more big inner city, I'm sure you was exposed much more to it than I was, Cartrell.
Well, I'm not talking about the crisis that we had. I'm talking about the opioid crisis that has hit America for the past 20 years. Now, it left our neighborhood. It's in their neighborhood, right? Opioid crisis. Oxycontin and all these other opioids that people are addicted to.
Yep.
Afghanistan is the connection. They had no reason to go into Afghanistan except for the opioid.
Exactly.
So, you read what you saw.
Yeah, they should have been. But I can tell you that. I can tell you this, country. I can tell you this, fellow students. Whatever deal was struck over there, I bet you that those poppy seeds, they're going to stop popping. I bet you that. Whatever deals were struck in America struck with anybody over there, I can bet my last dollar those poppy seeds going to keep popping. Okay?
So, the West criticizes the Taliban, but the Taliban is not going to let the nation of Afghanistan be spoiled by Western concepts and doctrines and understanding, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna allow the LGBTQ
No, they're not.
Allow your women to walk around with short shorts, and you're not going to allow your young boys to choose their gender and things of that nature.
No, they're
with it, but they're not allowing Western thought, Western concept to poison what they feel is their cultural heritage.
Right, which may be a stream to you or me, considering the fact of our liberal upbringing, anything goes. Wop it, baby, shoulder, wop. Hey, and I'm a little fella. I wants to be Cinderella, okay? Well, anything goes in America, but I'm going to tell you this. Anything don't go everywhere, and ain't nobody trying to have all that. Ain't nobody trying to have their women whopping and their little boys flopping, okay? They ain't trying to have the sisters whopping and the little boys flopping, okay? They ain't trying to have none of that. They don't want it there. So you can't be mad at them folks. Them folks ain't homophobic. Them folks ain't scared of a damn thing, okay? Come on, they scared. No, they ain't scared. They just don't want it there. But I ain't mad at them. I mean, our women should take a lesson in some of the things as far as their women are concerned. Our young men should take a lesson and pull up their damn pants and stop killing folks in the neighborhood. Yeah, you ought to be scared, truth be told. Yeah,
Afghanistan women are not having crack babies, are they?
Exactly. Mm. So, no, the Taliban is not perfect. Cartrell and I are not saying that. But they do have some certain morals they believe in. Not anything goes, any way to mop, plop, any ways the cookie crumbles. Western hemisphere. And basically, that's what it is. In our communities, our women do what they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it. Our men do what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it. The little fellas switching and swatching, got the other fellas watching. The girls got everybody watching. So how is that any better than the Taliban? When they say, hey, man, we ain't want no holes around here. Put your clothes on there. Now, little fellas, you can't be heavy little pan on it, a little behind, and walk around with an AK-7 and switching the can. Oh, no, oh, we can't have that around here. But they the bad guys. But there's something good about what the Taliban is talking about. I'm going to be honest about it. Now, I don't agree with, I'm not a Taliban. I don't want to be a Taliban. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. But there's some things that they do in similar nature to what we do. For us asking for modesty in our women, for asking for our young men not to be switching and swatching and got the other fellas watching. So, you know, it ain't my country. I'm not them. So I'm not in a position. I just think some of their things are extreme. As far as the education of their women are concerned, the equality of their women are concerned. I believe in equality for our women. I don't believe in mistreating and abusing our women and are dominating them. I'm not a Taliban. But I can't tell them folk how to live. Just like the Taliban can't come in my house tell me how to live. So that's them folks' spot. So I'm not going to try to judge them according to my standards. And you shouldn't be trying to judge them according to your standards or lack of. In the case of most Americans, lack of, no standards, but want to judge to the extreme. Hey, you're a little bit too extreme. Well, you a whole lot of extreme on the other end of the spectrum. So, no, I'm just saying America should have never been there first place. Should have went there, took care of your business, get on out of there. And made no promises to no one. But since you went there 20 years, you made promise to people, you need to keep your word on what you made to people. And what you got going on at that airport is a hot mess. And you're supposed to be the most intelligent people in the universe. I can't tell. And then, and no, you keep singing this song. Well, you know, we're concerned about the Afghanistan women in tears. You know, we're so worried about it. We're so worried about it. Yeah, please, man. Hold that noise. Just like you worried about us in our communities. You're just as worried about them, just like you worried about us in our communities. And we know how, what that worry looked like, okay? So hold that noise down. You ain't no, you no more worried about the Taliban women and girls than the man in the moon. Just like you don't give a damn about us, okay? So let's keep it real. Go ahead, Cartrell.
When the United States went into Afghanistan, there was no civil war. America went in there under the guise of trying to find Osama bin Laden.
Exactly.
Now they're telling the people of the world that the Afghanistan are not willing to fight for themselves. Well, let's go back to square one. When there was no war, civil war in Afghanistan, the people wasn't fighting one another in a civil war. Now you're trying to say that they're not standing up to fight for themselves. You wanted to fight in that country for some reason, and you could see that your intentions failed because there was no resistance to the Taliban. Even though you trained 300,000 warriors and you set up the government, you know, with perks, they showed no resistance at all, basically, after all these years of training that you had trained them. So what is the people's real will?
Right.
To be Americanized or to follow what the Taliban is saying?
And they didn't have a centralized government. And yes, the Taliban was fighting against some warlords, warlords that were in control of poppy fields. They wanted to keep things rolling. Yeah, the Taliban had problems with warlords that were in charge of poppy fields, want to keep things popping, okay? All right? But they didn't have a centralized government like America has a centralized government. They had region of governors and so on and so forth that understood the rules and went by the rules. And that's that on there. And I'm not justifying what they do. I'm not a Taliban. And I don't get down with what the Taliban do. But they had their thing going on. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Yeah, my heart goes out to Haiti, and I watch America's intention in Haiti, because I remember what happened the last time. There was an earthquake in Haiti. We had these fake presidents go down there under the guise of helping the people, and they went down there and took advantage of the people.
Exactly.
So I hope they don't continue to do that, and I pray to Most High, you know, really shows mercy and kindness and compassion to our brothers and sisters that are there.
Amen.
About to suffer another blow.
Amen, Cartrell. And we pray for the Afghanistan people, too. Okay? All right, Cartrell. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, fellow student, for listening. Cartrell and I digress, but we got some good stuff for you, though. Chapter 17, Second Chronicles. King Jehoshaphat is taking over from his father, King Asa. So may the Most High bless us and direct and order our steps. Shall we? His son, King Jehoshaphat, succeeded King Asa as king. He took firm hold of Israel. He stationed troops in the fortified towns of Yehuda and stationed garrisons throughout the land of Yehuda and the cities of Ephraim. Earlier ways of his father, King David, and did not worship Balaam. He did not worship false gods. But he worshiped Yah of his father and followed his commandments. Unlike the behavior of Israel, the 10 tribes were doing at that time. They were following idols. So Yah established, as a result, Yah established the kingdom in his hands. And all Yehuda gave presents to Jehoshaphat. He had wealth and glory in abundance. His mind was elevated in the ways of the Elohim. He was immersed to the ways of the Elohim. Moreover, he abolished the shrines and the sacred posts from Yehuda, space where they hang out to go worship these idols. In the third year of his reign, he sent his officers, Benhal, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathan, Micaiah, throughout the cities of Yehuda to offer instructions. Along with them were the Levites, Shemaiah, Nathaniah, Zebediah, Eshuel, Shemaramoth, Jonathan, and Dunijah, Tobijah, Toby Dunijah, the Levites. With them were Elisama and Jeroram, the priests. They offered it. That's what we're offering here on the Real Talk for Real People show. You know, this don't come by chance and a happenstance, and it doesn't fall out of the sky. As they went around instructing them in the ways of God, giving them the codification, giving them the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. It's like Katrina and I. We're giving you the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. But you have to be instructed. Okay?
Well, it actually starts in this story with King Jehoshaphat. It's like it says, he immersed himself. Do you know what it is to immerse yourself in the study of the Most High?
Just like jumping in a swimming pool, Katria. Immerse
yourself, not to become a priest, but to know how to rule a kingdom. So it's not religious. It's about how to run a nation with the codification that Yah gives the king. It's like he gives codifications for the priests. So the king immersed himself. Why? Because he knew the history of his father, King David, and the success that he had, and his father, Asa, when he was good and then he went bad, and all the other kings that, you know, were in the land, because you had the kings of Israel, and he's watching them and what they're doing and a lot of success that they have. So he has many examples as to why he's immersing himself in the study of the Most High. If the king could do it,
anybody can. And if it's good enough for the king, it should be good enough for you. And it says, they offered. They didn't make them do it. They offered it to them. They made it available to them throughout Yehuda, having with them the book, the codification, the contract of the teaching of the Elohim. They made the rounds of all the city. They didn't leave nobody out. All the cities of Yah and instructed the people. A terror.
And he did it with the right codification because he sent the priests, right? He didn't just send the Judites or anybody, any tribe. No, sending the priests. That's their job. And
that's
them equipment on their job in every city because every Israelite needs to know what? Yah's codification.
Just like I'm studying. Just like Abby Yah studied. Just like you fellow students. Even if you're not a Hebrew Israelite, you should know the codification yourselves. Because we have a lot of students that are not Hebrew Israelites, but you recognize the importance of establishing and maintaining a relationship with Yah, too, because of these studies. Okay? It's very important for you, too. Don't feel left out because you're not. The terror of Yah seized all the kingdoms of the land around Yehuda, all the nations. And they did not, that is so wonderful. See, y'all missed some here. See, if you got the codifications and you have the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, and you are maintaining a constructive and positive relationship with y'all. See, you ain't got to put in the work doing other stuff. See, you can immerse yourself in your studies, okay? You can immerse yourself in your studies. You can over-inundate yourself in your studies, and y'all handle the rest. You know, which he did for them. He put their enemies to fear, and they did not go to war with King Jehoshaphat. From Philistia, a load of silver was brought to King Jehoshaphat as tribute. The Arabs, too, bought him flocks, 707,000 rams, 707,000 male goats. Jehoshaphat grew greater and greater as a result of what? Immersing himself in his studies of Yah. Putting away things that was not according to the qualification.
It should be out there.
And he built up fortresses, garrison towns in Yehuda. He carried out extensive work in the towns of Yehuda and had soldiers, valiant men in Jerusalem. They were enrolled according to their clans. Yehuda's cities, prince of a thousand. Anah, the prince who had 300,000 valiant men. Next to him was Johanan, the captain, who had 280,000. Next to him was Amasa, son of Zikri, who made a freewill offering to Yah. He had 200,000 valiant men. Benjamin, Elihada, a valiant man. He had 200,000 men armed with bow and buckler. Next to him was Jehozabad, who had 180,000 armed men. These served the king, besides those whom the king assigned to the fortified towns throughout Yehuda. Everything was well taken care of. Long as they immersed themselves in the teachings of Yah, everything else was taken care of. That applies to everything, brothers and sisters. Long as you immerse yourself in your studies, long as you follow the codification, long as you are getting rid of bad habits. You know, we have a habit of doubling down on our bad habits. Not so in King Jehoshaphat. The bad habits of his father and those before him, he got rid of those bad habits. And along with that, he immersed himself in his study. And he made he felt, I ain't nothing special. This is for everybody. It ain't all about me. Yes, I'm supposed to ensure this kingship is working properly. But see, we are connected. My people and me are connected to Yah. And see, they got to be functioning properly also. So I got to make this accessible to them. See, I can't do it. I'm not a Levite, but I know what a Levites are. So I need to put them to work doing their job. Put them on their job. Go out there and instruct the people what's up. Okay? And everything else will be taken care of. It's just that simple. We make everything hard. Everything has a domino effect for wrong in a relationship. That's any relationship. With Yah, your wife, your husband, your friend, or whatnot. If you're not following the codification. Or if you are following the codification with your wife, friend, brother, sister, whatnot. The Most High. If you're following the codification, things have a tendency to work out for your benefit. I said the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. That's if you're following the codification. That's if you're putting away bad habits. And that's if you're ensuring that everybody has the same accessibility as you are. Just like Contrail and I like to do. We try to ensure everybody has the same accessibility. The keys to the kingdom, to these studies. Contrail, my dear brother and friend, you have the mic. What say you?
That's another righteous king out of the line of King David, Melech, mm-hmm. Jehoshaphat. Melech is king in Hebrew. Melech, right. Jehoshaphat went into the history books and read the formula that would give him success, and he applied it.
Exactly.
He didn't have to reinvent the wheel. He just followed the codification.
I like that concept. He didn't have to reinvent the wheel. That's good. That's a good point.
Yeah, when he followed the pattern that was set. And when he followed the pattern that was set, he became strong and mighty to the degree that the nations around him paid him tribute. They was afraid of him. And he had a million-man army. Wow. Mighty men, just do it alone.
Yeah.
Talking about Afghanistan got 300,000 trained warriors by Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Melech Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, had close to 1 million men.
Just like China.
Judah alone.
Well, he said China got a million man army. Well,
I think they got more than that.
Yeah, but if that's the case, China ain't the first one, okay? China ain't the first one, okay, Contrail?
Right. So we got to know our history, right?
Exactly.
They worked together. Everybody knew their part they had to play. And when everybody plays their part, the Most High is pleased. And he blesses us. as a nation. They didn't have to go to war. He didn't have to fight nobody. Jehoshaphat. Amazing.
No. And then, you know what, Cartrell? Here's what I like about King Jehoshaphat. He got rid of the bad habit, but he gave him instructions, too, as to why. Why they had to get rid of those bad habits, those idols and worshiping other things. He got rid of them, and he explained to them by the instructions of the Levites and the high priest why. The who, what, when, where, and why. So they didn't just by force. It was a matter of choice, too. So, yes, he as king had his prerogative to exercise. But personally, every one of them had responsibility. And to ensure that they exercised the responsibility correctly, they were instructed as to why. I like that. Go ahead, Katrina.
Right. He gave these men charge to clean up the nation.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm king, we're not going to have the mess going on. And we're going to find every corner that the mess is in, and we're going to clean it up.
Right.
So we're cleaning house. So we got to clean house ourselves.
Right.
Everything is fault in our people.
Right.
No, God's not pleased with this, and we have to clean it up.
Exactly. And you got to clean it up, Katya. All of us. All of us, each of us bear a responsibility. Just not Cartrell. Just not Yumsu. Just not Avia. Just not little baby Gregory or his little brother. Everybody bears a responsibility. Just not Brianna. A pop. Everyone bears a responsibility. United we stand, divided we fall. Although some of us are going to fall, but we much rather be united together and what's right under the codification. Because here's the problem, brothers and sisters. Everybody's trying to do it their own way. Everybody want to do what they want to do. But they don't want to follow the codification. And you have to follow the proper codification in order to receive the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. It's just that simple. If you ain't got it, won't you try something different? Try to play church and play right and do right. Stop trying to play church. Why don't you do that? Won't you try to do right? There's a right way and a wrong way to do anything. Even King Solomon said it. He said it in so much respect. There's a time and place for everything.
So Yamsu.
Yes, go ahead.
If King Jehoshaphat was a Taliban, what do you think he would have did to the people who had those idols in those high places?
They'd be running. I mean, he had a million-man army, bro. He had more than the Taliban. I think the Taliban started off at 85,000 and grew. And then they released 5,000 out of jail, so that made him 90-plus. So for this man had a million-man army. What you think they're going to do?
But he didn't turn them loose on the people, did he?
No, he didn't do that. He didn't.
He gave the people a chance to clean themselves up, right?
Exactly.
That's what a fear and a balance thing would do, right? We got to do it. I'm going to teach you why we need to do this.
Right.
It ain't my thoughts and my feelings.
Right.
These are the codes that came from our creator by covenant, by contract, that we must follow forever. So we're going to clean up all the dirt. I ain't sending a million-man army after y'all.
No.
You know, chase you out the country or the head y'all or whatever.
No,
we're going to clean this up. We're going to clean this up.
I'm going to give y'all instructions. I'm going to tell you the who, what, when, where, and how. But when I come back around this way and y'all still doing that, it's going to be consequences and repercussions. I'm the king, okay? Now, I'm doing my part. Y'all got to do y'all part, too. The Levites doing their part. The army doing their part. And the land doing its part and working with us. The Most High doing its part. Everybody got to play their part. The women got to play their part. The little children got to play their part. The men got to play their part. Everybody got to play their part. But I'm going to instruct y'all first. I'm going to get codification. I'm going to get the keys to the key. But when I come back around this way, after the destruction, it's going to be some consequences, repercussions. Okay? I like that country. No, he didn't put them dolls on them. I didn't mean to call them army dolls. But they do call them army dolls in the United States of America. But I didn't mean it like that, though. Go ahead, country.
Yeah, these are great, mighty men of valor, loyal to the king, dedicated to the nation, dedicated to Yah, God-fearing men.
Right, they're God-fearing men.
The nations around them feared them.
Right, they love the nation. And they gave the nation an opportunity to make it right. And that's how Yah is. Yah will give you an opportunity to make it right. He ain't just bust your head just like that, flat out. He'll give you an opportunity to make it right. Like King Jehoshaphat, a representative of Yah by virtue of that king, that throne. And he showed, this is how Yah showed you some love for him. Because y'all don't know what's up. So Yah going to tell you by virtue of the throne what kind of you, okay? All right, go ahead, Katrina.
So we have to honor and remember our good king.
Exactly.
And King Jehoshaphat is probably one of the kings that if you mention to Israel, they probably don't even know who you're talking about.
Who that is? Is that little Ray down the street? No, bro. That ain't little Ray down the street, okay? That's the king of Yehuda. That was a righteous king. That was a king that loved the people, loved the Most High, and immersed himself in the studies of the Most High. Didn't take anything for granted. And he got rid of bad habits, just like we all need to do. Immerse ourselves into the studies of the Most High and get rid of bad habits. Now, we ain't like the king. Our authorities are limited. But we need to work on ourselves, okay? Get rid of them bad habits and immerse yourself in Yah. Be like King Dawood. We always say at the end of the show, get a steadfast spirit and get a heart that loves the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your brothers and sisters, as yourself, that thirst after righteousness. If you thirst after righteousness, what does that mean? That means that if I get up out of this immersion and I get into something that ain't right with this immersion, I'm going to be thirsting for it. I got to get back immersed. Because something just ain't right. I don't feel right. I ain't doing right. It just ain't right. And King Dawood knew this. When he was on the outskirts of the relationship with Yah, he just, man, this ain't right. I ain't feeling right. This thing just ain't right. This thing don't even look right. I ain't walking right. I ain't talking right. I ain't even thinking right. For me to do that to Uriah, I wouldn't think it right. To do that to Bathsheba, I wouldn't think it right. And to do this to this throne as a king on this throne, representing this throne as the Most High representative, I just wasn't doing it right. And I can't live like this. I can't live on the outside of this relationship. I got to be in the inside. I got to be immersed in it. Like Cartrell said. It's got to be a part of your innate nature, as we said on this study show. You got to fit it, man. You got to fit it, sister. You got to be a part of your innate nature. You know, if you in a quality relationship, you outside of that relationship, let's take, for instance, hypothetically speaking, you in a good relationship with your wife or husband. Y'all married. And y'all doing everything right by each other. It just feels good. But if you on the outside of that right, but she on the outside with you, something just ain't right. I've been there before. Okay? I know how it is when you have a good thing and everything's good and it's working on all eight cylinders. It just feels good. But when something ain't right, you got to miss somewhere. It's just missing. And so that would apply, just to position that, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. If you are in a quality relationship with him and everything working right, you know when it's working right because you're immersed in the truth. But when you get up out of that truth and you start doing things that you shouldn't, that you know better, it just ain't right, bro. It just ain't right, sister. And I know it. Take an ex-fool's advice. Take your advice. An ex-fool. I know. And you know, too. Especially when you've been immersed in these studies like Cartier and I on the Real Talk for Real People show. You can't run off nowhere else. Because it just ain't right. Because you're immersed in these studies. We immerse ourselves in these studies with you. I too. But King Donald. All right. Cartier, fellow students, I'm done with my commentary. We're looking forward to a beautiful song of King. As a matter of fact, how he felt in his immersion of these studies with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, how he truly felt about his immersion in these studies. Contrary to all he is, my brother.
Let's not forget about King Jehoshaphat. Keep him in mind.
Oh, yes. No doubt.
A fella from Brooklyn once said, famous brother, do the right thing. And King Jehoshaphat did the right thing.
Amen, brother. Amen.
He had Psalm chapter 60. Another psalm about King David.
60.
State of mind.
Okay. And this
he was in
to the chief set the mystery of King Yahweh for teaching when he fought against
in the valley of Salt to the Dead Sea.
Mm-hmm.
So we give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Give thanks and praise for his creation of our King, King David.
Hallelujah.
The Mark, father of all the kings of Judah. His wisdom was passed down to them. They probably was reading afresh off the press, mm-hmm. which gave them courage and wisdom and insight to rule their kingdom. But his words have managed to come down to our generation to give us a semblance of strength and courage and connection with Yah. So we give thanks. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise and bless the name of Yah. Hallelujah.
It's amazing because his words we could use today for our situation mm-hmm. and our circumstance. Because when you read the words, it sounds like he's speaking in our behalf.
Amen. Sounds like Dota Kajal, fellow students.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Elohim, you have cast us off. You have breached our defenses. You have become enraged. Return to us. You made the earth quake. You broke it open. You created its fractures because it has shifted. You made your people to go through hard times. You had us drink wine that makes us to stagger. Sounds like us right now, right?
You better believe it. We're staggering all the time.
Yeah. You have given a banner to those who fear you. Yes, the Most High has given us a banner in this generation too, so that they may display it in honor of truth. That's why we got our flag. That's why we have our banner, so we could display the truth, because the truth has been hidden about who we are, our history, who Yah is, for many generations. So your loved ones may be delivered. Save us by your power and answer us quickly. That's what we need. We may be delivered because Yah loves us. And he's only going to save us by his power. We can only be saved by Yah's power, not our own power. And we need quick answers because the world is crumbling out of control. Then Elohim spoke in his holiness. He says, I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem. I will pour out the Sukkoth, a portion to the Sukkoth Valley. Gilead belongs to me, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet and Yehuda is my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. And Esau, I will throw my shoes. Over Philistia, I will celebrate my triumph. Who will lead me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Esau, Edom? Aren't you the one, Elohim, who has cast us off? Didn't you refuse, Elohim, to accompany our armies? Help us in our distress, for human help is worthless. So Elohim, through Elohim, we will fight valiantly, and it is he who will crush our enemies. So a serious message, because it's futuristic, it worked for him then, and it's eternal, because it's the remedy and the cure, and the way Israel, God's people, is going to be delivered. So
amen.
We ask Yah the same thing. Help us in our distress, for human help is worthless. Don't trust Dr. Fauci. Don't trust Joe, Money Man Biden. I know you're still hanging out with Donald Trump, but these people who are helping us, their help is worthless.
Useless.
They can't even help themselves. They're confused. But through Elohim, we will fight. You ain't fighting on your own. At least I'm not fighting on my own. I'm fighting with the power of the Most High. And when I fight with the power of the Most High, I'm going to be fighting valiantly because it's going to be for righteousness. It's going to be for righteousness to clear out the wickedness that's in the earth. So my fight, the fight with Yah for righteousness. and I'm going to do it valiantly. And it is he who will crush our enemies. Even though I'm fighting valiantly, it's going to be the Yah who's going to be the one crushing our enemies. It ain't going to be us. Yah going to get the glory. He's going to get the credit.
And King Jehoshaphat proved that very point, the contrary has just made to you. That very point. Immerse yourself in Yah in your studies. Help your brothers and sisters in their studies. And the Most High take care of the rest. You're worried about the wrong thing. Okay? All right, Cartrell. Thank you very much, my brother and friend. Bless the holy name of Yah. And bless Cartrell for bringing the Most High word to us in that beautiful song. And bless you too, students, for studying along with us and immersing yourself in these studies so that it will become an innate part of your nature and secondary to everything that you do, that you stop leaning to your own understanding, and that you seek Yah in every pursuit. May the Most High bless you. May he direct and order your steps. We suggest at the end of every study session, the most important thing you can do, one of the most important things, as King David found out, is to get yourself a steadfast spirit and a heart unlike King David. And if you don't know what that heart was like, that innate nature of his was like, it was a heart that loved the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, his brothers and sisters, and himself. He treated them like he treated his own self. And the thirst after righteousness had to have it. That's the kind of hearts you need. And the spirit you need is steadfast, steady Eddie. COVID-19 coming at you. No matter the Taliban coming at you. No matter Donald Trump coming at you. No matter universal white race supremacy coming at you. No matter the Walking Dead among us in our communities come at you. Steadfast. Stay steadfast. We love you. Cartrell, do you have anything to say before we get out of here?
Through Yah, we will do valiantly. Praise Yah.
You better believe it. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. We love you. Shalom. Good night.